Rabbi, let us begin. This week is Parshas Matos. Very rare for Matos and Maaseh to be separated. Okay, it's a very rare Parsha. If you look in a lot of the Svarim, of the Darshanim, they all go together because they just write up their drushes. So it's Matos Maaseh. They don't even consider it to be two parshas. But this week we have a unique situation where we have only one parsha, Parshas Matos. The first thing they want to present, beginning of the parsha begins with Nedarim. Vayidaber Moshe el Rosh Matos v'nei Yisrael lemor, zeh hadavar asher tzivah Hashem lemor, ish ki yidor neder. If a man makes a vow, la Hashem, o yishav ashur lesu Yisrael nafshu, he makes a shrua, lo yachel devaro kichol hayoytze mipiv yaseh. He has to be true to his word. A person accepts upon himself to do something with an neder or shvua, there is basically no way out. Lo yachel devaro kichol hayoytze mipiv yaseh. Now we know, every Rosh Hashanah we do HaTorah Asudah. We know that if a person makes a vow and he finds himself in a situation where he cannot keep his vow, there is a way out. Where in the Torah does it tell us this concept of hataras nedarim? One goes to a chacham, the whole masech nedarim deals with this. Go to chacham, and you tell me, avcharata, had I known, he finds a pesach, a bez, and a mumchim, not mumchim, all the different laws. So the truth is, it doesn't say it anywhere in the Torah. It's a remes. Lo yachel, the Gemara says something, a unique expression about this halacha, that they don't say kamat about anything else. It's osios parchos ba'aver, ve'ein lohem amasha yismuchu. We have a drasha, lo yachel divaro, you, the one who made the vow, may not annul the vow, or may not violate the vow, but someone else. If you go to a chacham, the chacham can say, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. Hu lo yachel, aval acherim mechel devaro. Can mechel lo others, can be mechel. Where does it say such a thing in the Torah? Lo yachel, who gives you the right to say, make such, you can make out the most outrageous drashas all you want, the whole day you can make outrageous drashas in the Torah. It's Purim Torah, if you make these type of outrageous drashas. Yet Chazal give legitimacy to this maimer Chazal, it's a smisoira, halacha al Moshe Misinai, it's based upon this pasuk, lo yachel v'chu eina mechel d'vav l'chei mechem lo. And the Gemara acknowledged in a Chanami, this drash is a little bit beyond the pale, it's a little bit extreme. But it is accepted, la halacha, you can do. Then we go further in the parasha. What about if a person's daughter makes a vow? Oh, a daughter makes a vow. The Torah elaborates at great length to tell you the different types of vows she makes, lahor lahetiv, and there's so much verbosity and repetition that the father can be made for her vow. Let's say a person's wife makes a vow. Oh, the Torah gives you in details. Let's say a person's daughter, Nara Hamarasa, she's partially married, the first part of marriage, the whole aliyah. It's a very difficult aliyah because there's a lot of mapikes, and there's a lot of verbosity, and there's a lot of repetition. The Torah is extremely clear. It gives you the rules exactly how a daughter or a wife can have her vow annulled. Removed all the rules, the whole Masech Nedarim, all the lum is not going to now, lahor lehetiv, hafara, hatara, retroactive, mikanul haba, so on and so forth. So here's the question. I saw this question was touched upon by Rev Eliyahu Atya, Sefer Vayom Eliyahu. He touched upon this question. He doesn't say what I'm telling you now, but it says pretty close to it. What is going on here? Why is it that when it comes to a man, when he wants to annul his vow, the Torah doesn't even, there's no reference, the Torah doesn't tell you how to do it. You have to rely upon oisiyos parchos ba'avir. But when it comes to a daughter and a wife, the Torah spells out in great detail how it can be undone. And even tells of Hashem yislach lo, even goes to the prophets of Kapar. So I believe there is here a very powerful Musar Haska. When a person has a vow that he can't keep, he has a problem. Being in a situation where you have a vow and you can't keep, you can't continue to fulfill your word, is a mashal for a problem. We all have problems. No one is free from problems. Everyone has difficult situations. And a difficult situation, you need help. You need help. A woman or a person that has a vow and can't get out of the vow needs help. When it comes to a daughter, comes to a wife, Torah elaborates in great detail the solution. But when a person himself is in a bad situation, the Torah does not provide a solution. It's not explicit. It's only hinted to b'derech remes. What's the Musar Haskil? What's the difference between a wife, a daughter, and a person? The difference is, Rav Atiyah says, a wife and a daughter, at least from the Torah's point of view, not talking about 21st century America, from the Torah's point of view, is a dependent. They have really no identity. A daughter is fully dependent upon her father until she is 12 and a half years old. A wife, in the Torah's point perspective, is totally in her husband. But a person himself, every single person, is 100% independent. When a person has a problem, if you go to someone else, you go to another person, you become a dependent upon someone else, you humble yourself to another, to a doctor, to a rabbi, to a psychologist, then, more often than not, they are able to provide a solution. And the solution they can provide is with cross all the T's, dot the I's, every little detail. But if a person himself wants to find a solution for himself, you want to help yourself, ein chovush mater atzma mibeis chorosim. Chazal say, a prisoner cannot free himself from jail. You need someone on the outside to find the solution. Every single person is nogeya ba'atzma. Even Avraham Avinu, when he wanted to find the shidduch for Eliezer, for Yitzchak, he removed himself from the situation and he appointed the shliach Eliezer. Ever Avraham, you will, because I am nogeya. I cannot see for myself. Even the great Avraham Avinu, the nitzis of Klal Yisrael, I can't help myself. I need outside help. This concept is hinted to here in these psukim, this parasha. We have three different individuals: yourself, daughter, and a wife. Daughter and wife, the solution is laid out in great detail. Why? Because they're not the ones that need to find the solution. It's someone else. They are dependents upon a husband, upon a father, a woman that's married partially, both from her father and the husband. But a person who is 100% independent, ein chovish mater atzma beis rasurim, there's no solution. Lo yachel devaro. You got a problem? You made a neder? You made a shvua? You got a problem? You got a problem. That's right. There is no solution. Lo yachel devaro. G'chol hayoytze mipiv yaseh. You'll find a solution? To find the solution for your own problems? You'll have to... It's going to be extremely difficult. The only way to find a solution, indeed, is help. You have to, and what does it help? So every situation is different. Whether the question needs to come on to Rabbanim, whether it needs to come on to doctors, whether it needs to come on to professional help, whatever the situation. But the person always has to realize that the person has a problem. If you deal with the problem yourself, you're extremely limited. If you become, you humble, you give yourself over to a reliable source, to a place that can provide a solution, then we can learn from the daughter and from the wife, Enochanami, there is a solution. What? They're independent, Enochanami. So Alman and Gusha are the exception. Those are not ideal situations. Alman and Gusha, they're independent. They're just like a regular person. Regular individual, even a daughter, once she reaches a certain age, also independent, only until she's 12 and a half years old. And even a wife, only for 24 hours. After 24 hours passes, then also. But generally speaking, when a person is a dependent, the Torah, I have a solution. You want to go on your own? Lo yachal devaro. You want to find the solution? One in a million will find the solution. It's looking for Isis and the Avir to find the solution to your problem. The Musar Haskil is seek help. Right? They always write about this. Today we're obsessed with addiction and all these other types of problems. And the solution is you have to seek help. It's not just for addiction, it's for any little thing. A person always needs a fresh perspective, someone on the outside to look in and to grant assistance. Okay, let's go to another very quick idea. I want to run this very quickly. It's a beautiful Rashi. It says in the Pasuk the three times of Hashem Yislach La. Hashem Yislach La. Rashi gives the mashal. Mashal, why does it say Hashem will forgive her? Rashi gives an example of a person What does it mean? A woman accepted upon herself Nazirus. I want to be a Nazir. I want to be a Nazir. I don't want my wife to be a Nazira. She can't contaminate the dead. She can't drink wine. I don't want this. Ms. Mefer. And she does not know, she is unaware that her husband was made for her Nazirus. And then she goes and she drinks wine. She's Metamala Mason. And then, what did I do? I did an Avera. I violated my term of Nazirus. The husband says, don't worry. I overheard you when you were Makabal Nazirus. I was made for it, so you didn't do anything wrong. So wonderful. I didn't do anything wrong. I was Makabal upon myself Nazirus. I violated the term of the Nazirus. But the truth was, I didn't do anything wrong because my husband, not without my knowledge, was made for my Nazirus. The Torah says, yes, you can do that. Yeah. The Torah says she still needs Kapara. She's still the Hashem Yislach La. Hashem will forgive her because she did an Aver. Because when she drank wine, when she contaminated the dead, she was not yet aware that her husband annulled her Nazirus. She needs, and if this is true, a person didn't do an Avera, only thought they were doing an Avera, requires tshuva. Allah has come, when a person does an Avera for real, he needs kapara. The Chassam Sofer asks a very similar question. Well, he asks many questions. First, why is the Rashi giving the example of a Nazira? A woman makes a Nazira, I'm not going to eat an apple. I make a vow, I'm not going to eat on a diet. I'm not going to eat chocolate cake. And she eats the chocolate cake. Why does the give an example over here of a Nazira? And he has a lot of questions. Also, why? This is the real heavy question. If the woman thought she's doing an Avera, why does it say that Hashem will forgive her? Hashem doesn't forgive automatically. There's no such thing. That runs contrary to everything we know about Yadus. You have to want forgiveness. Hashem is not a vatron. Hashem doesn't forgive. Hashem only forgives if you do tshuva. Why does it say here in the pasuk, Kadosh Baruch Hu forgives you automatically? What's going on here? So the Chassam Sofer is an incredible chiddush, and he completely changes the entire equation. And what he says is, the reason why we're discussing a Nazira is, a Nazir is the prototype of doing an Avera L'Shem Shamayim. The Torah does not allow a person to do an Avera on no condition. There's one exception. Being a Nazir. Every time a person becomes a Nazir, he's doing an Avera. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu put you in the world to enjoy this world, to enjoy the good wine. It's a mitzvah, one of the biggest mitzvahs is Halvayos HaNes. You're not going to come in contact with the dead. Terrible Avera. To participate, to focus on the dead. A person becomes a Nazir, he is doing a very serious Avera. The Torah says, in this instance only, and this is a prototype, Chol Torah Kula, there are certain times when you're allowed to do an Avera L'Shem Shamayim. Because by not enjoying the world, it will make you a better person. For 30 days, whatever it is. Not come in contact with the dead, even though you're not involving yourself in the mitzvah that is necessary for tikkun olam, you're not going to contaminate yourself. The Torah, upon occasion, allows a person to do an Avera L'Shem Shamayim. That's the Parsha of Nazirus. Here, now, Chassam Sofer explains this to the whole Parsha. A woman here made a neder to do an Avera. She makabel upon herself to be a Nazira. I want to do an Avera. An Avera L'Shma, L'Shem Shamayim. And then she eats. She eats from Yayin. She's a Metamala Mason. So look at this. When she now has violated the term of Nazirus, what has she really done? She has not done the Avera. So the Torah says, too bad. You know, if you make a neder, you're a Nazira, you have to suffer the consequences. But in this instance, her husband, not without her knowledge, was made for her Nazirus. Took away. So it turns out, she made a neder do an Avera L'Shma, right? L'Shem Shemai, but an Avera. And now, she didn't do the Avera. Because she ate. She ate wine, she enjoyed herself. She was Oisek in Tikkun HaOlam, she buried the dead. And it turns out that even according to the rules of Nazirus, she did nothing wrong because her husband was made for the neder. So in this situation, one would be misled to believe she does not need Gesundheit, she does not need Kapara. When a person does a real Avera, or plans to do a real Avera, and you don't even and you do something, and then it turns out what you did was not an avera. Okay, so then you need kapara. But in this situation, we're dealing with a nazira, and a nazira by definition is an avera. So she made a ned to be doing avera l'shem shemayim, and now she didn't do the avera, and because her husband was mefer. So in this situation, you would think that she does not need kapara. No, here this is the point I want to make from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer shows us, by explaining this Rashi, the Oimek Hadin, how far HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medaktek upon a person, Kechut HaSara, that even if a person has a kavana to do an Avera L'Shem Shemayim, I want to do an Avera L'Shem Shemayim, and I don't end up doing the Avera, still you need Kapara. Because you wanted to do an Avera, even though the Avera was L'Shem, it's an Avera, but being that it was, it's still an Avera, even though it was 100% L'Shem Shemayim, and I didn't end up doing it, and one would be misled to believe, since it was L'Shem Shemayim, and I didn't end up doing the actual Maisa Avera, I don't need Kapara. The Chassam Sofer, by explaining this Rashi, says that if you had Kavana to do an Avera, even though it was L'Shem Shemayim, even though you didn't really end up doing the Avera, you still need kapara. And he goes, and al achas kam, if a person had kavanah to do a real avera, then the rules of Hashem yislach do not apply. Then it's even much worse. Then you need to do tshuva. But the Chassam Sofer reveals to us in this pasuk the oimek hadin. I once had a sefer. I think it was in an article sefer. They went through all the Malachi Chazal, where you see incredible diktuk hadin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is medaktik. It's a real scary book. Hashem is medaktik upon a person. How far a person has to distance himself from din. So Rashi, Pasek, Vashem, Yislach Lod appears three times in this parsha, three different examples, and Rashi says Nazira, Chassam Sofer changes the equation. Avera Lashma, even Avera Lashma, a person has to tshuva, even though he did do the Avera. Yeah.
I have a difficulty understanding Chassam Sofer.
Yeah.
Isn't there a concept we say that
So different madrigals. The Chazal, since there was a machshava to do an avera, it needs kapar. It doesn't need a korban. It doesn't need. There are different madrigals. Aina kashuach mitzarif machshava ro lemaisa means to the full extent. To the full extent, you'll be punished. Kili, you did a maisa, but there's still a need to do tshuva. Okay, let's go to another idea.
Just 1 second. You said about a
korban. Yeah.
A lot of people who is not responsible for anything they say, they don't need the Torah. It's only by...
Only by a God 12 years old. That's 12 years old. Okay. Okay. Okay, so Nair is 12 years... Okay.
Because an Ish, a boy, even though he is in his father's house, once he reaches 13,
he's fully independent.
And he's responsible for himself.
But a girl is still 12 years old until 12 and a half years during that 6 month period.
That 6 month
period, right. Only the 6 month period, correct. Okay.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. So let's go to another. This is Nogia Halach Lamaisa. Unfortunately, we are in a very difficult situation. There is a war taking place in Eretz Yisrael at this very moment. Hashem Yirachem. And it's unfortunately not a good time to have a war. Kol roitvecha hisigura bein hamitzarim. Couldn't be a worse time to have a war. They said this could take at least 2 weeks, the very least. We're going soon into the 9 days. And we have to be mechazik in Torah and Tefillah. And it's not a coincidence that it's happening against the backdrop of Parshas Matos. Parshas Matos begins with Nidorim, and then it leads into the Milchemes Midian. Milchemes Midian, there's so many Mepharshim that describe what was the unique nature of the Milchemes Midian. And the first thing Rashi really says, this was the first time Klal Yisrael fought a war in their history, not to conquer land. All the wars of Klal Yisrael, the vast majority, were to conquer land. The war over here was to take revenge against these Rishayim who tried to cause Klal Yisrael to be nichshol in Arayos, to weaken their kedusha, nichshol by Arayos. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Nikoyim nikmas b'nei Yisrael. It's a war of revenge. The war they're fighting in Eretz Yisrael is not to conquer land; it's to defend the land. Then Gaza, they gave them Gaza, and now unfortunately, this is a war to protect Klal Yisrael. There are striking similarities to the words Chazal use. Riv she'en elohem. I'll read you the Rashi. Rashi in the beginning of the war says, "Why is only Moab, Midian? What happened to Moab? Bilam ben Baar. So Bilam ben Baar was from Moab. So I'm saying, Moab hired Bilam from Midian. So what about?" What about Moab? Moab was the one that instigated the whole process. So the answer is Moab had an excuse. They were afraid. They were afraid because Klal Yisrael may take their land. May take, because the pasuk says Yirshal Yirei Mehem Sheyushelu My Son. Because they were afraid that they would be plundered. The Jewish people will take all their properties. So they had a reason to fight against Klal Yisrael. But Midian. Al tisker b'amul shloy nemar v'al tisker b'amul chama avul midyanim nisabu al riv loy lohem. They had nothing to gain, nothing to lose. They went just out of their hatred for Klal Yisrael. They participated in making trouble for Klal Yisrael with nothing to gain, nothing to lose. And this is an act of rishus that is similar to the act of rishus of Amalek. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was told nikoyim nikmas pnei shel me'es hamidyon. The first one explained that before the Milchemes Midyan comes the parsha of Nedarim. Why is the parsha of Nedarim in between, right before the Milchemes Midyan? Because Chazal say, Noidrim be'eis tzara, v'yidar Yaakov neder lemar, b'shas tzara, a person has to make Nedarim mimekabel upon himself, chumrus, mimekabel upon himself, new takonos, or be mechazik himself in things that he is weak, in order that these things should serve as a zuchus for an eis tzara. And certainly this lesson... in wartime. So certainly it's not to be lost upon us that the beginning of this parsha begins with Nedarim, leads into a Milchama of Midian. We're now in the Matzav of a Milchama, and before the Milchama comes the parsha of Nedarim. The Musar is simple as can possibly be, is Mikan, Shenoidrim, the Eitzara, even though we do not actually make real vows with Zman Hazeh, but certainly it goes without saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us and telling us we should be Mechazik ourselves in Torah and in Tefillah and in Ma'asim Tovim, that it should serve as a zechus for Achenu Bnei Yisrael who are in a matzav of tzara. Now, continuing in that light, there's a very powerful vart. A number of ideas that tie into this idea. First, we have over here Moshe was told to separate men. He holds to me chamanoshim latzava. The Yomiyin lost his thing. Moshe, how many people should go to war? So it's only a small number. Elef lamate, there's repetition of the pasuk, 1,000 per tribe. L'chol matois Yisrael, tishluchu latzava, shall be sent out to war. The next pasuk says, "Vayimashu mi'alfa Yisrael elef lalmate 1,000." Now, how many people does the medrash and medrash here on this pasuk says? The truth is, 3,000 went from each shevet, because it says three times the word elef lamate, elef lamate, elef lamate, and then the next pasuk says, "Vayimashu mi'alfa Yisrael elef lamate," and the medrash says 1,000 went to guard the kalim, 1,000 support. They were war for every soldier that fought in battle. There was one soldier that was there to support food, shelter, to guard his logistics. Fine, 1,000. And then there was another 1,000. And they were not there for support. They were not there to fight. They were there for nothing more than tefillah, to be mispalel. To be mispalel, that's what they were there for. Now, before we go further, I just want to point out that there is a... is a very popular question, and there really is no satisfying answer. The question is, Rashi seems to make a lot of trouble in this pasuk because it says, Elif Lamate, L'chol Matos Yisrael, for every tribe of Klal Yisrael. Rashi has come to be Marba Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi also had to participate in this battle. So how many Shvatim are there really with Levi? Since normally we divide Ephraim Menashe into two, we divide Yosef, so the 13. So since over here the pasuk is coming to be Marba that Levi also must participate, there should be a grand total of 13,000 soldiers. But the pasuk adds up the numbers and it says how many went out? It was Shneim Asar. It was exactly Vayimashu Me'alfe Yisrael Elif Lamata Shneim Asar Elif Chalutzei Tzava. So what is taking place? How could it be? If Rashi is telling us that Shev Levi also participated and Ephraim and Menashe generally are considered to be two tribes, so how come over here there's only 12, there should be 13,000? Yeah? Oh, what did he say?
Says,
I didn't know. Okay, okay. I'm sorry. I was not aware of the Sisei Chachamim. So in this instance, it's going to be the exception. We're going to count only Menashe as one, Yosef as one tribe. Enochinami. Okay, that's one answer. All the Farshim not pleased with that approach because the five Menashe generally are counted as two. So another popular answer is. What? Depend for what it's for.
This was for the karma.
Okay, that would be good with the Sefer Chacham. Another popular answer is, it says the word Vayimosru. Vayimosru means they were delivered. They were taken against their will. There was a draft. It was not a voluntary army. Vayimosru, no one wanted to sign up. Only 12,000 people need to only 1,000 per tribe. Each tribe had many people, so they took volunteers. Guess what? No one wants to come.
No one wants to come.
So they said, Vayimosru, they were delivered against their will. So when it says there were 12,000, only 12,000 came against their will. 1,000 came willingly. Who came willingly? Shevet Levi. Why did Shevet Levi come willingly? Because they had the nature Mila Hashem Eli. At the time of the Egel, the Chedo Egel, when Moshe Rabbeinu said Mila Hashem Eli, who was the one that came willingly? Shevet Levi. All the other Shvatim did not come to Moshe Rabbeinu willingly. Only Shevet Levi came willingly. So we have a right to assume here they did not need Vayimosru. So when it says here L'chol Matos Enechanami in the war, Enechanami fought 13,000 soldiers, and when the pasuk Vayimosru was delivered, means against only 12,000, but the Shevet Levi they came without any hesitation. That's one answer. I want to suggest another answer. Another answer is based upon, and it doesn't say that I'm saying off, which is a little bit off the charts, but I just want, even if it's not true, there is a point I want to make, which leads into the next point. I'm going to tell you something from Rabbi Yashiv, Zechat Zag Levrach, in a moment. But I want to suggest another idea. It says here that there were 12, that they Elef Lamata, Elef Lamata. For every 1,000 soldiers, every 1,000 who fought in the war, there was another 1,000 that were there to be mispala. Levi's avodas the koyach atzila. When it says here vayimashru, they were given over. It's very clear vayimashru mi alfa yisrael elef lamata shemos elef chalutzei tzava. Chalutzei Rashi says armed people to actually fight, to actually to bear arms and go out and fight. Sheva Levi were not from the big fighters. Sheva Levi, their avoda was to serve in the Beis Hamikdash. They had the koyach atzila. When the pasuk says elef lamata l'chol matos yisrael, 1,000 to fight, 1,000 to daven, l'chol matos yisrael tishluchu latzava, does not say tishluchu lechalutzei tzava, tishluchu latzava. It happened to be that for all the shvatim, 2,000 people went for this particular group. The next group is the next pasuk to guard for the logistics, to guard the kelim. But in this pasuk we mentioned 2,000, and the medrash says in this pasuk elef latzava, 1,000 to fight, 1,000 to daven. It doesn't say what their purpose was. So perhaps we can suggest that Sheva Levi also participated. They gave over 2,000, but all 2,000 were for the koyach atfila, not for actually fighting. When the pasuk says elef lamata l'chol matos tishchu latzava, it means to for the army. Doesn't say what purpose. Then when it says Vayimashu was given to Moshe, Elif Lamatel Shemosel Chalutzei Tzava, there were 12,000 fighters. There were 12,000 fighters. But Mispalalim, there were 13,000. Because Sheva Levi did not give 1,000 people to fight, instead they gave over 2,000 to be mispalel. Okay, is it true? Is it not true? I don't know. But I want to bring out a point that I saw in the sefer called Divrei Agadah. This is a sefer that someone published, Rav Yashiv used to give years ago, probably more than 50, 60 years ago, a shiur min Agadah, Joshua's from the parsha of Baal Levatim. I think it was 50, 60 years ago. And a couple of years ago, someone published these old Joshua's. And there he says something. Now this is not from Rabbi Yashiv. I'm going to come to Rabbi Yashiv in one moment. First, I'm coming to Rabbi Cheskel Levinstein. Rabbi Cheskel Levinstein says something amazing. Today, there are fighting on the front lines, and then there are people that are not fighting. And the Rabbanim and the Rosh Yeshivas, they all tell everyone, if you're not fighting, the very least you can do is participate in the Mulchama by davening, by learning Hasmada. But where do the people who are not fighting the support, the Elef Lamata who are Oisik and Tzila, where are they located? Where are they? They're in air-conditioned Beis Medrash. The people who are fighting in Gaza, it's 110 degrees, wearing layers and layers of protective gear, don't sleep nights, dangerous pachad, all these. But the people that are in the spa knew air conditioned, based medrash, with a coffee break, and so on and so forth. It's not exactly the same. So Yecheskel Levenstein says something shocking. He says that's not the way it was in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. When it says here in this medrash, elef lamata, every shevet provided 2,000 soldiers, one to fight and one to daven. The 1,000 who went to daven went to the battlefield, and Sperish in the pasuk. Tishlechu latzava, they shall be sent out to the army, which meant on the battlefield there were 1,000 people fighting, and on the battlefield next, right next to the soldiers, was a koila. On the field. So the question is why. So he asked the question, why is this necessary? Why couldn't they stay home in the base medrash where there's air conditioning and they have all the sun they need? They didn't have in those days, you know, iPads with Kolat HaRakula, Yitzhar HaChachma. Why couldn't they stay home in the base medrash? Why do they have to go out? So he doesn't say the obvious answer, which I'll tell you in a moment, because it's probably too posh, but he says another answer. His answer that he gives is, this is what he says, and that's the obvious answer, which is, he says, because the soldiers, he says, the soldiers should not by mistake think their success is koichi v'oitzim yadi. The soldiers should always turn around and realize, look who's davening for us. Our success is coming from the koich hatfila. What is the obvious answer? The obvious answer is that you can't really daven. You can't really be mispalim with a full heart unless you really take in the danger. If you're in koilo, no matter how much you're davening and you're learning, it's not the same. It's not the same being on the front lines where every single moment your life hangs in the balance. It's not the same. You could identify, there are sirens, you go to bomb shelter, but it's not the same when you actually feel the threat. If the people, the 1,000 people that are going out to the field are going to be mispalel for the success of the soldiers, they have to be in the line of fire. They have to feel the danger. If you feel the danger, then the koyach hatzfila will succeed, will be matzliach to cause the soldiers to success. Tish elef lamate, 1,000 to fight, 1,000 to be mispalo. Tishlichu latzava, go out and fight. Someone showed me recently an article online. A couple of months ago, there was a gathering there to show to protest the law. They passed the law that if Yeshiva Bachaj refuses to go to the army, he is a criminal. So we all know there was a protest, there was a demonstration, a tefillah, whatever you want to call it. 800,000 people attended. So there was a yeshiva. Okay, everyone has a different hashkaf. There are many different types of hashkafs there at Yisrael, and tell me, the master Rosh Hashiva, should we go? So the Rosh Hashiva said, of course you should go. These are the Gedolei Yisrael, Mipim Anuchoyin, and you have to follow. They want you to come be mispalel. You have to go be mispalel. You have to understand, it's something very serious. But before you go to the demonstration, on the way there, I make one request of you. I want you to stop by Mount Herzl. I want you to stop by Mount Herzl, the military cemetery. And go be mispal by the kvarim of the chayolim, of all the fallen soldiers. And you'll sit there and meditate and reflect upon the kedoshim, the soldiers. And after you say a kavakapiluchtam, then you go to the demonstration. Because then you'll go to the demonstration with a different time. If you want to elef latzava, to be part of the group of people that are going to be the elef latzava, that's going to be mispalel, it has to be together. Tishluchu latzava. I once heard Rav Eliyashiv, this is Rav Eliyashiv, it's shocking what he writes. Okay, I have it in words, but he said this 50 years ago. Rav Eliyashiv said there are wars, continuous conflicts and wars. I don't know which war he was referring to, but he writes that to me this, we're in a constant state of war with our neighbors. And he said, when Rav Eliyashiv said that if you hear a soldier was killed, can a person in Eretz Yisrael who's sitting and learning, a Ben Torah, or anyone for that matter, can they really say with conviction, Yodeinu lo shafchu es hadam hazeh? Can you really say Yodeinu lo shafchu, is your Torah u'mitzvos up to par? That it's you're not a partner in this person's death. What have you done? Kol Yisrael arevim zeh lo zeh. It's serious business. I once went to a levaya, a young person died, and the rav was shocking what he said. He said, we all wash our hands after the funeral is over. Why? Ruach HaToma. Well, Makbid, everyone lines up, long, long lines, no one would dare go home until they wash. This is not a real tumma. We're all tumma mace. This is hocus pocus. Hey, in the Chanami, what do you do? You wash your hands. But you know why you wash your hands? You know why? Alderech drush, alderech. Because when you go to a funeral, person dies, you have to say to yourself, my hands are clean. Yodeinu loishafchu es hadam hazeh. I just buried someone. My hands are clean. It's not because of my sins. Person died 120 years, had a good life. You can walk out of the funeral chapel and wash your hands and say, ah, wash your hands well, all the way up to the wrist with all the chumras, and you can say, ah, I have clean hands. Yodeinu loishavchu adam hazeh. But a young person died. This is not the derech ha'olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's toveya. Can you walk out of the chapel and wash your hands and say, Yodeinu loishavchu es adam hazeh? Can you really do that? Serious, this Rav Eliashiv, he said this 50 years ago. People sitting and learning. It's serious business. Yodeinu loishavchu es adam hazeh. Now, they're not letting anyone out. Tish Platzava. Okay, let's not make any be realistic. The IDF would not let a person go near the battlefield unless you are properly trained. But to some degree, each person on their level has a duty to somehow to do your part, to not just lip service, but to somehow to connect in some way to the tsar of the people who are actually involved in this war, and to their families. Who, I mean, I remember one of my mother's friends. She was so distraught every time her children were in the army, and she was so distraught. Any little, conflict, it meant her children are being called up. Her children have to go out, and she couldn't live with herself. It was so unnerving. And every person on their level has to make that connection to fulfill what it says in this week's parsha. Both the Hakdama Noidrin Be'ez Tzara Vayidur Yaakov Neder Leima, the Hakdama to Melchemes Midian Nekoim Nikmas, and the second part of Elef Lamate Tish Luchu Latzava, to feel that you're actually part of the battle. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, another idea. This continues along in the same theme. Okay, let's first go to Bill. There are two parts to this idea. The first part is it's a famous Zvart. This is an idea which a lot of the Mepharshim they speak about. This week in Parsha we learn about the death of Bilam. Bilam ben Baor was killed. Bilam, the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael, was killed. He was killed Bechorev. He was killed with a sword. So Targum says, how is he killed? Well, what is Chorev? Now, anyone that is into the Olam Hadrush, Olam Hachshava, knows that whenever it says in the word Chazal, a sword, in the context of battle, a sword does not mean a physical sword. It means Koyach Hatzila. Asher lakachti Yaakov Avinu said, I'm giving to you Yosef Shechem Achad Alachecha Asher lakachti Yaakov Avinu B'charbi Uvekashti B'tzalusi Uvevausi. It means the Koyach Hatzil. Yaakov Avinu also fought with a sword, but his sword is translated to mean the Koyach Hatzil. In fact, on Parshas B'shalach Melchemes Amalek Vayachalosh Yeshua Es Ha'om Lefi Chorev Es Amalek.
Amol lefi choref.
Targum there says, yes. Piskama de choref. Piska means the law. Piskama doesn't just say he killed the people, the Amalekim and their nation with a sword. The Targum adds in a word. He word the piskam. Piskam means the edict. The edict of the sword. What does it mean? It's from the first to explain. It doesn't mean he mamish killed Amalek, every single last one of them, through the koyach of the physical sword. It means the koyach of tefillah. Of course, he killed them physically. Whether he killed them with a sword or not, that's irrelevant. He killed them using the metaphor of b'charbi uvekashi, the piskam, referring back to the sword of Yaakov Avinu. But here in this week's parsha is, and there are other examples, I don't have them on tip of my tongue, but there are other examples in Tanakh. Whenever it says surah, it does not mean literally surah, it means the koyach ha-tfilah. The koyach atil b'charev v'kashti piskama. Generally, it says piskama the charev, the edict of the sword, referring to Yaakov. This parsha is the notable exception. When it says here they killed Bilam ben Baar, hargu b'charev, the targum says kotlu v'charba. Doesn't say bitzalusa uvi v'usa. It doesn't say the word piskama the charev. It says charev, and Rashi elaborates. Why they kill him with the swords is a very, very shocking Rashi. Huba, he's a guy. And the goyim, they come to Klal Yisrael. What's the goy is al charev chotichye. Midian is an enikul of Esav, is a cousin of Amalek. Huba al Yisrael the hechlif umnasai the umnasan. When Bilam came to Klal Yisrael, instead of coming al charev chotichye, he came to curse the koyach peh, the koyach dibur. That's not what you're supposed to do. That's not what Hashem gave you. Hashem gave you al char b'chotichye. Hakol kol Yaakov. Yaakov is the koyach dibur. So he was hichlif emunasoi beumnasam. He exchanged his trade with our trade. She'ei noishim ela b'pim klal yishol ayde atfilu b'akash. Look at the Rashi later. Ubal hu bilam came v'tofas umnasam l'klolu b'fif. Afim bo olav. So therefore, Klal Yisrael came and they exchanged mida keneged mida. You want to be us? I'll be you. Me, you want to disguise yourself as us? So we will disguise ourselves and we'll kill you with the physical sword. Vechlifu umnasam. The Klal Yisrael exchange umnasam be umanos humos humos sheboin becherev, and Klal Yisrael killed him with a sword. Okay, it's a very strange Rashi. Why would Klal Yisrael, they killed Bilam with a physical sword. Okay, but what's going on here? There's something going on. A lot of the Farshim are not very happy with this. That there's something wrong. It's not, what is going on here? Klal Yisrael, they killed him with a physical sword. They did, which seemingly means they didn't focus on killing him with the koyach hatzvila. They focused on killing him with physical might. They had physical might, and that was the ikra. They didn't pay attention. They weren't mispalel as much as they should have. That's seemingly what Rashi seems to be saying. Is that a mayel or chasaron? Well, Rashi's not really addressing it. Rashi's just saying that it was the midah keneged midah. Okay, what's going on here? So I want to suggest an idea that the roots of this idea I saw in the Sefer Vayomer Eliyahu from Rav Eliyahu Atya. He says almost the opposite. He has a whole different derech, but the ideas he lays out, and I just want to use what some of his foundation to suggest an idea. Now here we go to the beginning of the parasha. The beginning of the parasha begins. Nekoyim nikmas b'nei shom yisam edyanim. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I have a job for you. I have a mission. I want you to exact revenge for b'nei Yisrael from the midyanim for what they've done to Klal Yisrael. They caused the death of 24,000 people because they caused Klal Yisrael to be nichshol in arayos. They saw these young, beautiful women, and they could not control themselves. They were nichshol in arayos. The kedusha of Klal Yisrael was diminished, and therefore, Moshe, you have to take revenge for Bnei Yisrael. And then, achar, after you finish this mission, it's time to go. Achar te'osef el amecha, you will die. And this is really a continuation of the previous parasha. Hashem says to Moshe, look at Har Ha'avorim, you're not going there, you're going to die. Moshe, we know there's a battle in this parasha, a long battle. They killed the Midyanim, they killed everyone, wiped out men, women, children. Okay? This is parasha, Hagdama. What's going on? Only ones that were spared were girls under 3 years old. Anyone over 3 years old, over 4 years old, were wiped out. Amalek, these people that are getting around Amalek, wipe them out. There's no solution. The only solution is to wipe them out. And then there were spoils, the count of the spoils. Mission accomplished.
What's the difference between the three and older?
Because they're not royal for marital relations. Okay, but after the parish is over, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. The battle was won. Nifkat mimenu ish. Not even one person died in the battle. 100% success. So what comes next? Achar teosef el amecha. Isn't that what's supposed to happen? Isn't there a chazal when it says achar? It's immediate. Acharei is later. When it, here it's achar. Achar means immediate. No hefsek. So in this week's parasha, we should read about Vayomosha Moshe, Vayikbor Seibagai. All of that should appear in this week's parasha, in Parashas Matos. No, Moshe doesn't die. Moshe is alive and kicking. And now he deals with B'nai Gad, B'nai Ruvain. And he gives them a long Musa Shmus. And go back to Parashas Maaseh, he tells them the Nachala. L'chor, that's Yeshua's job. To tell everyone the Gvulois. A lot going on. And then you have a Chumash Devarim. Chumash Devarim took place over a whole number of days. It took place, how many weeks?
It said that Devarim is 1 month.
A month, a whole month,
yeah,
a whole month. But it says, "Achar teosef elamecha." Achar is miyad, miyad, no hefsek. What is going on? Something here is wrong. Something is wrong. Okay, so you can say derech pshat, you can say relative, but there's something. Another nekuda. The following nekuda is a very big chiddush, and I don't know where he's getting this from. I'm assuming Rav Atiyah has heavy. Rav Atiyah is a Gaon Sheba Goyning. He's a kubul, a very prominent Rav, and I'm assuming here he's quoting from source. I didn't look at Kelly because I didn't know I was going to say this until I did not have access to the Sefer anymore because I'm different location. But he reads a lot into the Pesukim. Let me tell you the very big chiddush how he reads into the Pesukim. The parasha begins. Nikoyim Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Me'ez Hamidyanim. Hashem says to Moshe, "I want you to exact revenge for who?" The Bnei Yisrael, the Klal Yisrael. What happened? 24,000 people died. You have to take revenge. Achar teosef el amecha. Now he's reading all this in between the Pesukim. Moshe approaches Klal Yisrael. He says to Klal Yisrael, "Rabbi Yisai, you could still sit here at home. You're going to sit here at home. I'm going out alone. The Lone Ranger. I'm going to go out alone like Avraham. Avraham, when he went out, he took Eliezer, he went to fight. I'm going to take revenge from Midian for what Midian did to you. It's my battle. I'm going out alone. I'll hire mercenaries. I'll take care of this. Whatever I'll do, I'll do." Klal Yisrael says to Moshe, "Moshe, we don't want you to go. Because we know that if you do this job, you take revenge for us, achar, you're going to die. We don't want you to die. We're not letting you. We'll take care of it." So Moshe says, "But you can't. You can't. Hashem says, so we won't take. We're moich on our covered." In other words, this is how he reads. We're moich on our covered, and you want to take revenge for what they did to us. Klal Yisrael says to Moshe, "We are moich on our covered. But we'll get the job done, not for our kavod, for Hashem's kavod." Midian did two things. They were poigame the honor of Klal Yisrael, and they were poigame the honor of Hashem. By harassing Klal Yisrael, you are harassing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yisrael v'kudsho b'ruchu chavku. Klal Yisrael is one with the Torah. So that's what's beduik in the pasuk. Vayidaber Moshe, and Moshe says, "Fine, you don't want your moichel on your covered, but the job must be done. It's I'm not going to do it, you're going to do it." Leimor hecholtzu meit chmanoshim latzava, v'yiyu al midyan, l'aseis nikmas Hashem. The Midian. A lot of Mepharshim pick up on this difference. Okay, this is a very common idea, but the way of Atiyah, he adds a lot more into to give it a lot more flavor. And the idea is, the Hashem said, "Take revenge for the kavod of Yisrael." When Klal Yisrael went, they said, "We're moichel on our kavod. Our kavod, forget about our kavod. Mocholach. We're going to take revenge for the kavod of Hashem. Nikmas Hashem." Okay? Read the Pesukim, first Pesukim. Nikmas b'nei Yisrael, that was the instruction. Moshe separates men, that you al midian lost this nikmas Hashem. But the mission changed. The mission changed. No longer is it subject to achar teosef el amecha. If Moshe would have done the original mission, lost this nikmas b'midyan to be noikem b'nei Yisrael, then it would trigger achar teosef el amecha. But Klal Yisrael didn't give Moshe the chance. You know why? Because Klal Yisrael was moichel on their covered. When you're moichel on their covered, you have no right to take revenge. Revenge is a rule of revenge. You play revenge. You have to know how to take revenge. When you take revenge, there has to be. There's no. Once there's mechila, then there's no makom for nekama. Nekama is only a correct term when there is hakpada. If you moichel, you have no right to take revenge because you moichel. Macholach, Klal Yisrael was moichel because the Klal Yisrael didn't want Moshe to die. So the Klal Yisrael changed the mission. By changing the mission to the Nikmas Hashem, it's a new mission. No more. It's a different mission. But here's the point. There's a very big drawback. Because now that Klal Yisrael is doing it, Nikmas Hashem, and it's not Moshe, it's Klal Yisrael is doing this for Hashem's Nekama, and it's not Moshe, Moshe is not going out to battle. What is the Koyach of Moshe? Moshe is the antidote to Bilam. For like, come, K'moshe, be Yisrael Eino Kom, Avol Be'umos Ha'olam Kom. What is the Umnis? What is the Umnis of Moshe Rabbeinu? Peh. What is Bilam? Bilam, put aside the Rashi for a moment. Bilam was Moshe's parallel in the Mumus Olam, the Koychapeh, the Vua prophecy. If Moshe would have gone out to destroy Midian, who is the leader of Midian? Bilam. Bilam is leader. Moshe would have destroyed Bilam with the Koyach HaPeh, with the Koyach HaTzila, as was true when it came to Amalek. Amalek, what happened? He sent Yoshua. Moshe went out to the battlefield. He stood on top of the rock, and they lifted his hands. V'chasher yorim Moshe, v'govar Yisrael. V'chiyodav shel Moshe, oisa mulchama. When he lifted up his hands in Tfilon, in the battlefield, Elif Lamata, Tishkul HaTzav, and they saw Moshe Rabbeinu, they were mispalel, then they won. Lefi Chorev, what was the Lefi Chorev? The Piskama de Cherev. But Moshe didn't go to the battle here. Because Klal Yisrael said, you're not going, Moshe. Because if you're going to go, it's going to be to take revenge for us. And then, Achar Teosef Elamecha. So Moshe, you're under house arrest. You're not going. You are locked up. So it's not going to be Nikmas B'nei Yisrael. We'll go and we'll fight a battle to take revenge for Hashem. But Moshe, we're not like you. We don't have the Koyach HaTfila like you. Menelo and Klal Yisrael, they killed Bilam, Lefi Chorev. This is the downside. The downside, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have went out to fight, it would have been Lefi Chorev, Piskama de Cheref. And then what would have happened? Moshe would have to die. But being that Moshe Rabbeinu did not go out, so the advantage is Moshe Rabbeinu lives. But the disadvantage is the battle is a shvacha battle. The battle is only Lefi Chorev, with the Chorev itself. And my nafina, what's the proof to this? Because what happened now? This is very important. This part of the equation is extremely important to understand. Chazal, they can talk about Yiftach, B'doiroi, Kishmul B'doiroi, in Aaron. I don't remember Chazal word for word, but Chazal is certain. Chazal, they match Gidon to Moshe. What's the Meisim Gidon in Parshat and Shoftim with Perek Vav? Something like Perek Vav, Perek Hei, Perek Vav, Perek Zayin. The Meisim of Gidon is Gidon went to fight against the Midianim. Midian, in Shoftim, not the Pelishtim, not Amalek, not Amoinu, Midian. Gidon finished off what Moshe Rabbeinu did. If Moshe Rabbeinu would have obliterated Midian at this time, the Koyach HaPeh, there would not have been a need for Gidon. There would not have been another battle of Midian. Midian stuck around. This was a shvacha battle. They won. Lefi Chorev. They killed them. Lefi Chorev. But they lived on to fight another day. And they fought for another day in the time of Midian, then in the time of Gidon. And essentially, what is the whole story with Gidon? Read the whole parish of Gidon. It's amazing. Hashem says, okay, you're going to fight a battle. The night of Pesach. Gidon is the mamshah hemshach of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then Hashem says, there are too many soldiers. Send them all home. There are still too many soldiers. Send them all home. Only 300 soldiers were allowed. Only 300 soldiers, because they shouldn't say that it was the koichi v'yoytzam yadi. It should only be the koich hatzfila. Gidon, the whole mice of Gidon was one of the most, was the strangest wars where HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept on making the army, the tzava, less and less and less and less in order that it should be 100% nikar, that the melchama is being fought with not the cherev, but the piskama de cherev, the koyach hatzila. Why? Because Gidon now has to finish off what Moshe Rabbeinu left unfinished. Finish off finished business. Why? Because Klal Yisrael didn't let. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu would have finished off that right away, that would have had the consequence. It is the continuation. What is the Musar Haskel? I think there's a very powerful Musar Haskel here. The battle was won. The battle was won here. There wasn't v'lo nifgad mimenu ish. At the time when Moshe Rabbeinu, they wiped out, they brought in the spoils, they declared victory, United Nations, the whole world was watching, it was 100% victory, victorious. L'nifgad menu ish. But the truth was, they really lost the battle. Because it was l'fi choref. They killed them physically with the sword. The battle was not won with the koyach ha-tfilah. And if the battle was not won with the koyach ha-tfilah, they're going to live to fight another day. We have no doubt, Baruch Hashem, this war in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to win. And with Hashem's rachamim, v'lo nifgad menu ish. Today there was a soldier, very rachmanu son, that was killed. They were wounded. But rachamei Hashem, there's a war going on. Lo nifgad, there shouldn't be another. We're going to win no matter what. No matter what. But it doesn't, but the question will be, will it be won with the cheref, or will we be zoicha to unite, to be mechazik ourselves, to win the piskama de cheref? If it will be piskama de cheref, it will be a victory for nitzchias. If it's going to be, they will come. They white flag that we won. But if it's not going to be with the hidden piskama de cheref, Achman Litzlan, it's not a nitzachon, that's going to be the koyach ha-tfila must be present to win the full battle. Okay, so this is very okay. This is idea. Okay, all right. Let's see. Okay. We're out of time. One very short vart. Okay, I have all things I want to tell, but one really quick last point. Very, very short. So very nice. We spoke about this week about Noivach, only because we spoke about it this week. The difference between Yoyer ben Menashe and Noivach. Okay, we spoke about it this week. What's the difference? Yoyer called the city Chavos Yoyer. Noivach called the city Noivach. Noivach Bishmo. That's why it's Bishmoy. Right? The Chazonish. Bishmoy we discussed this week. And Noivach and Yoyer ben Menashe doesn't say Bishmoy because he added the word Chavos. However, that's not it. Now, there's a Rashi, the last Rashi, law, not the last Rashi, but it says, Vayikro law Noivach Bishmo. Law should really have, according to the rules of grammar, a mapike. Right, so it's a violation of all the rules of grammar. So what's the answer? The dot didn't disappear. Rashi says it was by design because it's weak to indicate that Noivach did not remain forever. The Nechosim, that ultimately, not long after, the city was conquered and it was no longer called City Noivach. It was called New York. It was called something else. Someone else came along and took it away from Noivach. But Yoyer ben Menashe, Chavos Yoyer ad hayayim hazeh, it's still called Chavos Yoyer, whatever that means, it's still called Chavos Yoyer. So the question is, so Rashi says, why is that so? So Rav Schwab is a beautiful Yisoid. The reason, the difference is that it ties into the Chazonish. Because Yoyer ben Menashe didn't call it Yoyer. He called it Chavos Yoyer. It wasn't, like we said, it wasn't Bishmo. He didn't call it Mamish by why? Because he wanted to show, that's not money. Real estate is not my identity. It's my parnasa. Who am I? I am Yoyer. It happens to be I have some good investments. I'll call them the Chavos Yoyer, the villages of Yoyer. But it's not me. That's not what I am. I'm a Koilel man. I'm a Ben Torah. That's not what I identify with. It's the Chavos Yoyer. It's just a source of income. Noivach went a little bit too far. Noivach says, this is me. That's my legacy. I'm a real estate tycoon. This is me. I am Noivach. I want the city to be called Noivach because this is my essence. That is not a Torah Dika Hashkof. And that's why it says, Davka lo bishmo. Without a mapike, he called it Noivach. This is me, real estate. Hashem, if you identify with Mammon, it's not going to last forever. That's not. But if you want to say that, no, you are a person that serves Hashem and you happen to have also good investments, that's okay. It shouldn't be bishmo. It should be, a person should learn to differentiate between his real life and things that are necessities in order to exist in this world. This is Rav Shabbat, beautiful art. And with that, we will leave it. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Shabbos, 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 Shab